Have you ever had a dream that you could
I really hope that that's exactly how that's actually is.
I hope so too.
Hold on, let me drink some of my diet cola.
I have to blur that out if you didn't do it that way, so I'm glad that you did it that way. Yeah, I got a lot of leg showing. I'll probably punch it on me.
Way too much leg.
Wait, it is way too much leg. All right. But that's okay.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 with the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we're talking about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
You threw me for a loop. And I'm Dylan. This week, we are talking about the best commanders in CEDH part 2. We did a part 1. It was last week. We talked about 6 commanders. We're doing a part 2 this week. We're talking about the other 6 commanders.
Yeah, we got 6 more of the most popular commanders that you will see at CEDH tournaments. And we're going to rank them, including the list that we did from last week too. So we're going to combine today's list and last week's list.
Yep.
So if you missed that episode, go make sure you check that one out too.
Now that you're back, since you paused the podcast and you've come back, you watched the first one, now you're at part 2.
And even if you watched the first one, you had to go back to make sure you didn't forget anything.
Yep, of course. Yeah. Should we just a recap of what those 6
they
lists
just
were?
Rewatched the last podcast, so I don't think we have to.
Okay, all right, fair. But, okay, yeah, sure. So what's the first one that we're talking about then, I guess?
All right, so we're going to start off with a Dylan deck today.
Okay.
And that's going to be Thrasios Yoshimaru.
I don't know if I would call this a Dylan deck, but it is a deck that I'm currently playing. Well, I understand what you meant.
That's the only reason why I called it a Dylan deck.
Okay, yeah, I guess what other definition would there be?
Yeah, not much, but I'll tell you what, something has changed since we were here last.
What has changed?
This deck actually has a win. This deck has a tournament win, actually.
Holy shit, look at that. That deck
is
incredible.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yoshimaru Thrasios. This deck is basically a Guy's Cradle deck. It's looking to win with Guy's Cradle loops. You're looking to normally have Talon Gates and a Boro Breeze Caller with a whole bunch of creatures, 5 or 6, so that you can make infinite mana, phase out all of your opponent's creatures, draw your deck with Thrasios, and win that way. It's a mana deck. It's a big mana deck.
Because you're able to make infinite mana because the land that you untap with a Boro Breeze Caller's ability is Gaia's Cradle, which is why it generates you so much.
Normally, the strategy was originally kind of Rograk Thrasios. There's a white edition that has given stuff.
The biggest ones are all of the silence effects, obviously. So you get like Grand Abolisher. You get Voice of Victory. You get Silence herself, you get Ranger Captain of Eos, which is amazing. All the 4 great effects like that.
I like Ranger Captain in this deck because it gets a second creature.
You get access to Duretti and Emil. Derevi and Emil,
Derevi
I should say.
And Emil.
This is something that I know you do in Sisay and is a big pull to these Gaia's Cradle decks that are also in white, which is something that the Rograk versions of this deck can't do because this is basically the same thing. It's just a little bit more protected because you have these silence creatures. And the other creature I want to talk about, there's 2 other creatures I want to point out real quick. Weathered Wayfarer.
Ooh, this can go find any land, right?
Have you put this one in your list?
No, I thought about it, but I didn't.
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting. You get to search your library for a basic, reveal it, and you put it into your hand. Maybe that's why you didn't think of it. It's because a lot of the other effects that you play that get Gaia's Cradle in this list, just put it directly into play.
And this is only gets a basic.
This gets a land.
Oh,
you search
any
your
land.
Library for any land.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You said basic there, so I thought I was wrong.
Oh,
really
I said
quick,
basic
I
there?
Think, I think you... No, it's fine. Because so it gets any land, but it puts it in your
hand.
Oh,
I meant
to
say search your library for basically any land.
Sorry, yeah, I misheard you. I think that is what you said, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Other than that, the other card that stands out to me is Wandering Archaic, which is pretty interesting, because even as I shifted Atali into be a little bit more turbo, this is a card that I still left in the deck, because it is still really impactful on games, and if you're trying to go into the long game, which, like, this deck can win on turn 3, but I don't know how reliable it is at winning on turn 3, so I think that having something like Wandering Archaic is a little bit more better for them.
That makes sense, yeah. Wandering Archaic is kind of, it often ends up like a super risk study. I feel like often it is so that your opponents just don't even cast the spells that trigger it. It's super powerful. I'm not playing it in my version, but I definitely don't think it's wrong to play it. It's such a powerful card, and it being 5 generic mana is really helpful when you're making a lot of just green mana. It's helpful to have something that you can just cast off of that extra Mana Vault mana, Gaia's Cradle mana, anything like that.
And are you on the Devoted Druid line?
I am on Devoted Druid with Swift Reconfiguration and God Pharaoh's Effigies.
Nope, that's the
what
other one.
Machine God's Effigy. That's the card.
This list in particular does not have Machine God's Effigy, but it does have the Swift reconfiguration.
The Machine God's is nice because it's a clone when you need it to like be another Spellseeker or another Cloud of Fairies or something like that.
And there's a lot of creatures in this deck with like Enter the Battlefield triggers, and it could be that like having Displacer Kitten to trigger it and like be able to have it come in as something else too.
See,
I think
I'm not playing Displacer Kitten there on Kitten.
See, I feel like if you're on Cloud of Fairies, don't you want Kitten? We were just talking about this last week.
Yeah, you think so.
Too.
So I'm playing Emil. I'm playing, there's another four drop. The one that's the Eldrazi that searches for any land.
Sowing Mycospawn. This deck is on that too.
And I'm playing Phyrexian Metamorph, which is really more of a three drop, and Seedborn Muse. So I just like, I didn't want an extra, like a third sorcery speed four mana creature. And I thought the one that can find Gaia's Cradle and the one like, I thought Emil is better than Kitten. Is that wrong, you think?
This deck plays both.
This deck plays both, so yeah. Maybe I should try it.
I'm also noticing this deck is not on Seedborn Muse. They decided to cut Seedborn Muse for this in particular.
Okay, I would be down for that. Cutting Seed, that feels kind of crazy, but I would be down.
I feel like that does sound crazy. Like, you're playing Big Mana Thrasios. Why would you want to cut your Seedborn Muse of all things?
I want to win right now. I don't want to win on my opponent's upkeep.
I'm not trying
right
to
now.
Pass the turn, but yeah. They're playing High Fate Trickster, Valley Floodcaller, and Born Upon the
Wind.
So
I'm not playing High Fate Trickster either. That's a lot of four drops. How many four drops did you just read off to me that they have?
I'm including Phyrexian Metamorph, which should be a three drop.
It's a three drop. We won't count it. Yeah.
All right. Then we have four drops and 1 5 drop in this list.
Then five drops. Wandering kind of over Seedborn Muse.
Yeah.
Sort of interesting.
To be a little bit more interactive when you pass, which I gotta tell you scares me a little bit more because that means I'm tapping out with Wandering Archaic.
Yeah.
And I have to only rely on my words instead of my cards. But maybe Seedborn Muse is too much of a
kill me right now. Must.
Well, don't say the words kill me right now because this video is going to get demonetized.
Seedborn Muse is a lightning rod, though. It attracts all removal immediately. Wandering Archaic is a little bit difficult to remove because
you can use it
too.
To your... Every time I've used it, it's to my opponent's advantage, quote-unquote. Mm, we're like, hey, if you do cast your Red Elemental Blast right here, we can use it on two different things. And Atali, in particular, doesn't play blue things. So cards like that, they really incentivize you to want to talk to your opponents to use their interaction to help you out and to give them a two-for-one opportunity where it might not come up.
I like it as a plan B that doesn't revolve around Thrasios, which is kind of nice because a lot of times the Seedborn Muse strategy can be blown up if Thrasios isn't there.
That's true. It's only good with Thrasios and the One Ring, and if you don't have either of those two things, like, what is your Gaia's Cradle mana going to do?
It's like a little bit more win more. Like, yeah, if you untap your stuff every turn, you win, but there's other things that can help you win right now.
Yeah, I had something else I wanted to note about this too.
Thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
I'll just try to fill the air with other stuff while you're thinking of it.
No, we're just going to move past it.
We're
going to
move right past it.
Yeah,
I think this deck is really awesome. I think, truthfully, I've been playing this deck for a little bit. I think that Rogthrass seems a little bit better. It does the thing a little bit faster, a little bit more consistently, but the silence effects are huge. The Revy is incredible in this strategy, and so is Emil. So I'm definitely going to keep on tinkering on it because I think the Gaia's Cradle core is pretty strong, and I think the Bant aspect of it offers a lot.
It is weird how much different this still is from Rogthrass, though, because like there's no Chatterfang. Like, there's no...
Oh, I'm playing Chatterfang.
I meant the Chatterstorm.
I'm playing Chatterstorm in mine.
This one's not playing Chatterstorm. That's a sorcery, right?
It's a sorcery, yeah.
It's not in the instant category either, so I'm not seeing it here.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, yes. Yeah, I guess there's still a couple of different directions that you can go in, depending on really what you want to do with this deck. It can be very flexible.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah. I think this is the one that I'm probably going to try to mold my list a little bit more like this one, since this won a tournament. But there are certain cards like Chatterstorm I think that card's really good. I
want to keep this in mind, too, that its final record for the tournament, it was a 64-player tournament.
Okay.
So it's not a huge event, but it's still won something. But it does seem like two wins is the cap for a lot of these decks.
Okay, got it.
I will tell you that. But that's Thrasios Yoshimaru. Now, we need to rate this on our list of commanders here too.
But
so
I don't know what the other six is.
We know that it's worse than Rogthrass, which was the highest rated commander that we had last time.
Yeah, okay.
So this will give us the opportunity to go in an order and figure out where this is going to go.
Okay, sure.
I think that this deck is also worse than Sisse too.
I think that this deck is worse than Sisse. Yeah.
Because it's not, it's weaker of enough of a thing that Rogthrass is doing, and what Sisse does is way more uninteractable too.
Yeah, I think they both fold to similar things. They're both very onboard creature type decks, but Sisay is a little bit more inevitable, whereas this is kind of wheel spinning. Depends on your play style. I like the inevitability.
What about versus Rograk Silas? Do you think that Yoshimaru Thrasios is better than Rog'Sai?
I do not. I think that Yoshimaru Thrasios is worse than Rog'Sai.
I agree. I fully agree with that. So now we're at Rogthras versus Vivi.
So it's so new. This is hard. Now it this gets all so super new. Gray and murky. I want to say Vivi feels... I've seen Vivi do more broken stuff than I've seen Yoshimaru Thrasios do in my personal experience.
As have I. I think that the ceiling on Vivi is potentially larger because it's almost infinite in Vivi, whereas it does feel like there is a cap to what you can do in Yoshimaru Thrasios. I haven't played it as much as you, but the games that I've played it, I feel like I can snowball into something and then not get anywhere, which I also feel like Vivi has the same thing. So I feel like they're kind of, they're close. Pretty even.
We're
pretty
close. Yeah, we're getting close. I still think, I think Vivi's better right now. I like Vivi more.
My bias wants me to put Vivi above it, and it also gives us the chance to learn more about the other lists that are still on this list that we can compare these decks
perfect.
To.
Yep.
So where do you feel about Yoshimaru Thrasios versus Kefka?
I don't know that I truthfully have played enough against Kefka to have a really firm opinion on this. I want to say Yoshimaru Thrasios gets on board quicker, so I like it a little bit more. But Kefka is so new, and what it does is so powerful, it's hard to judge them against each other. I think Thrasios is tried and true, so I'm taking Yoshimaru Thrasios before Kefka.
Auto-corrected to Toshiba Thras. So I think I totally agree with you, too, because even though Vivi is not necessarily as tried and true, I don't think that the ceiling that Kefka has is as high, and I think that the speed that Kefka operates at is not as optimal as Vivi, too. Vivi can go turbo, Vivi can play the control game, and Kefka, I feel like, can only do mid-range stuff. Yeah. Although, as I was editing last week's episode, like, I got really excited about Kefka. I bought a Kefka, it's coming in the mail. Like, I kind of want to put it together because of, like, what you can do with clones. Like, I want to be able to make two or three Kefka triggers per turn and, like, get a ton of value. But I don't know how good the deck is when you don't have Kefka in play. And I'm worried that some lists play too many things that lean towards Kefka. And I don't want to play Kefka in this color combination if, like, I'm going to be playing good cards. Like, I think there's way more better things to do to play a good stuff deck in Grixis.
Okay, so I have a I have a thought that's a little bit different.
Okay,
I think Kefka, and I'm not sure about this. I haven't seen Kefka play enough. But I think Kefka has a chance to play kind of like a Jund mid-range deck in that you're not really making your card good with the commander. You're just playing good one-for-one cards, and forcing your opponents to discard stuff over and over again means that you're just going to end up with more cards. Is there a world that, like, Kefka is like your Liliana of the Veil to your Jund deck that's full of just solid threats, solid removal, solid interaction? Everything is just good, and Kefka makes it so that your opponents have less resources than you? That, to me, feels like a direction that I would want to push this Kefka. Have, like, a few cards. Have maybe Dothi Voidwalker, because it's already pseudo getting you advantage, stopping your opponents from winning the game. Having maybe like a Harmonic Prodigy because it's really cheap, but, like, not dipping too much into that and just keeping, like, the core Grixis good stuff.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to play Waste Knot, I don't think. I wouldn't want to play the Tiny Bones that we talked about last week. Like,
Bones, definitely not. Waste Knot is a weird one that I think that one is bizarrely close, but probably not.
If we're Kefka's leaning, the only thing that is discarding cards in my deck, I don't think I want to play too many things that only operate off when my opponents discard. Like, at least I like Dothi because Dothi, like, when people cast spells that go to their graveyard, I will still get them. I will get Silence later if I can counter it.
Right.
Harmonic Prodigy. If I cast a Spellseeker, like, after Harmonic Prodigy, it can get me a second trigger,
stuff,
right? Like,
yeah,
it does some other things, but, like, I worry that Waste Knot only, like, stuff that only works with my commander. Like, I like that clones can still copy good things. Like, I like that they're just the most versatile creatures, and I like that they can also copy Kefka for more triggers if I want that, too.
And if you go into Waste Knot, I feel like you also start going into, like, wheel stuff, and if you're doing wheel stuff, but, like, a little bit slower, I don't think that's really great.
I don't want to refill my opponent's hand.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you, like, if you have to have the Notion Thief or the Orcish Bowmaster or the Narset or something like that beforehand, which, like, 5 years ago I would have said is, like, that's a solid strategy. But right now, that's, like, kind of just maybe too many pieces, where I feel like if, like, instead of, like, Wheel plus Narset, your thing is, like, that's his Oracle plus Demonic Constellation. Like,
yeah, that's really what I'm
going
for.
That's your backup plan. Like, you're still in Grixis, tons of tutors, find Thoracle quickly.
I'm just trying to get, like, interaction out of people's hands so that when it comes to my turn, I can just go for it.
Right, yeah. At least to me, that's how I would want to build the Kefka deck. But it feels so tempting to try to, like, build much more around Kefka.
I know. I'm nervous about balance effects. I'm worried that I'm just going to put clones on on the stack and Kefka's going to get bounced. I mean, but I'm an Atali player.
That's fine. And if they do that, they bounce your Kefka in response to your clone, then you clone something else and you have Kefka in your hand. You cast it again.
Five mana Kefka.
Right,
yeah.
Like that's
totally
fine.
I love when
people
do that to me in Atali. Like, boom, please bounce my Atali. I want it to be cheaper. Right. Wow, yeah. That's funny. Okay.
Wrapping up, I think it's still too early to tell fully about Kefka, but I like Yoshimaru Thrasios more than Kefka? Is that what we're talking about?
I still think Yoshimaru Thrasios is a better deck than Kefka right now.
For
but
now.
Maybe I will build Kefka still. He's coming in the mail, so I might as well.
Prove me wrong. Yeah, we've got to figure it out.
That sounds good. All right, now we're going to talk about a cam deck. We actually have a couple of cam decks on this episode today. It's called Magda.
Yeah.
Brazen Outlaw.
Magda has changed a lot since it first debuted, I feel like, the Magda deck.
Honestly, I feel like it has too. And it's still doing well. I mean, it's still like a tried and true deck, and there's so many different things that I feel like you can do with Magda, but we have gotten some new tools. They are playing that Go-Go, the red Go-Go that we talked
about
last week.
Can you remind me, what does this do? Makes an extra, as a copy, makes copies of stuff on combat?
It becomes a copy of another target creature you control until end of turn, except its name is Go-Go.
It becomes a copy of.
And it gets bigger and gets haste.
No ETB.
No ETB, no.
What do Magda players like this?
It can be another dwarf. It can be another Roaming Throne. What does this do in this deck? Do you want it to copy Magda ever? Probably not.
It becomes a copy of any creature
that you control.
What's the thing that anytime you make a treasure, you make a clue and a food and a something else?
No, because this is a go to combat trigger. So I don't think you want that. But this list is also notably not on Academy Rector. I don't think the name of that card, it's Academy Manufacturer.
That's what the name of that card is.
That is what the name of the card is.
All right, I figured it out. So Go-Go retains the name Go-Go when you copy Magda, essentially making this another Roaming Throne for Magda, which seems really good, especially since Go-Go is Magda until the end of turn, so you can still safely crew vehicles and not have to risk your dwarves in combat.
What other new cards has Magda seen in any list recently? You got any other ones?
There's a weird mount in this deck.
A mount?
Called Mobile Homestead.
Okay.
It has haste as long as you control a mount. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a vehicle. I read the word mount on it, and I thought that it was a mount. So this is a vehicle. This makes way more sense. And when it attacks, you look at the top card of your library, and if it's a land, you can put it onto the battlefield tap. But it's just another, like, crew two thing.
Crew for two. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like we've gotten just, like, a couple of better vehicles that you can crew. There's another one from, that's Lifecraft Engine. We already knew about Lifecraft Engine.
We knew about that one. That one changed the game a lot, I feel like.
But there's still no better, bigger payoffs than Portal to Phyrexia or God Pharaoh Stature for you to find unless you're trying to win the game. And it looks like they're way down on stacks pieces. Like, it looks like really the only stacks pieces that they play are things that will make it harder for people to interact with them.
Okay.
Stuff like Dampening Sphere is something that they're still doing, so that way, like, if you have multiple things you're trying to do, just makes it harder and harder. I mean, Disruptor Flute, it's just, like, really the only other interaction that they have, but they're kind of off of a lot of the other stacks pieces, it looks like.
I think I like that direction best. Just do your thing. Magda's thing is pretty efficient, it's pretty good, it's clean. If people forget about you for a second, you can pounce, and you're easy to forget about because you're playing Magda.
It looks like the list is using the Twin Shot Sniper list.
Oh, okay.
I like that. To win mostly,
I don't think that's the worst removal ever, because for two mana, you can deal two damage to something, which gets rid of an opposition agent, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I think that's, like, that's an awesome card to have in your deck. It's hard to interact with, and for it to be part of your win con is sweet.
There's a lot less dead cards that you need to play now, too, because we got the Bark Form Harvester.
Bark, bark.
This is a artifact dwarf that lets you also, for two mana, put a card from your graveyard into the bottom of your library.
So notably, you can go search for it again.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, you can draw your deck with the One Ring and untapping it with the Clock of Omens as you're already going through the loop, and you have these infinite treasures that are coming into play untapped. So there's just so much you can do now in Magda that, like, there's no more dead cards. There's no more cards that, like, you only need to play because of combo pieces. Like, they work for a lot of other reasons that can just, like, kind of help fold into the deck way more nicely.
Yeah, this is, I feel like Magda is a commander that's very similar to Sisse for some obvious reasons, in that it's a five thing to go search your library right in the command zone. That's going to make a commander like this kind of good forever, I think. As long as artifacts are good, as long as they continue to print dragons that are good, that one very much less so, obviously. But every once in a while, you'll get one that'll go, wait, Magda can use this or something. I think the searchability, that effect is so powerful in the command zone for CDH that I think we're always going to see Magda in, like, no lower than B tier. I think it's always going to be a fine deck in, in my opinion. It has everything that CDH wants.
Yeah, I exactly agree. A combo piece in the command zone that makes you mana and is a tutor in the command zone as well. It is just everything. I think it's probably one of the stronger decks that are on the list right now.
I say everything, obviously, interaction is one thing that it doesn't really have.
There's so much damage on this that it can deal, though.
Okay,
like,
all right.
It plays as much ways to deal damage, and there's a new artifact that it has, too, that enters and deals 2 damage to something that you can, like, also, like, turn into golems then, too.
It's, yes, okay, it has certain ways to interact. Not
but there's also
on the stack interaction, I guess, is what I'm specifically talking about. You have only a few options.
That's true. You have Deflecting Swat. Technically, you can play the sacrifice a red creature to copy something.
Flare of Duplication.
And then they also play the one from
Pyroblast, Red Blast.
Yeah, those. And then the one from Thunder Junction that has Spree that lets you like redirect an activated or triggered ability and also copy it if you pay the other Spree.
That one seems expensive. I don't love that card.
A lot of the times when I see it, it's people going, I'm going to do it right now. And then they reread the card and go, oops, it doesn't do that. Let me put it back in my hand.
That is such a common thing with that card. Oops, this doesn't do anything. It does.
No,
shit.
Okay. Well, now everyone knows that I have it. Yeah. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. That's true. So it doesn't have the on the stack interaction, but what it does have is just like instant speed. Yeah. Rather than countering your Thassa's Oracle, Magda Haddon can win in response.
I'm
going to
push
Oracle
on top of it.
Right?
Yeah.
So like that's good and that's fine. And it covers its weakness a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's going to be better than Glarb, Kefka, Yoshimaru, Thrass.
We didn't talk about Glarb.
Well, but it's there.
It didn't get there until now. Surprise.
No. I mean, it won't be in the top 10.
The viewer knew because they watched last time. Okay.
Yeah, they already knew how we disregarded Glarb.
Better than Glarb, better than Kefka, better than Yoshimaru Thrasios.
Better than Vivi, I think.
Better than Vivi, yep.
And then I'm also now at the point where we're like, it's Rog'Sai versus Magda. I feel like traditionally I want to say it's Rog'Sai that's inherently more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously biased. I play Rog'Sai, but yeah, I think Rog'Sai is a little bit more powerful.
Certain days, I feel like Magda is better. When it's in the same pot as Rog'Sai, I feel like Magda wins those games.
Okay.
People hate on Rog'Sai, and then Magda just goes, no interaction for me,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I do feel like if Rog'Sai or a faster deck is not in the pod, Magda is going to take a lot of that heat. So I think that's just kind of like the natural curve of where they should rank then, too.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so we're taking Rog'Sai over Magda? Is that what
we
decided?
Yeah, we're going to take Rog'Sai over Magda, I think.
Yeah, I agree. What's the next best commander in CDH? Or the one that we're going to talk about.
We should talk about a Tyler deck now that we've talked about a deck that you play, a deck that I've played. Let's talk about one that Tyler plays, and that's Kinnan.
Kinnan's going to go over to the top, I feel. Kinnan is a deck that a lot of people play, but doesn't win quite as much as some of the other decks that see as much play as it does.
You
is
say
that,
true? That, and it just won 10K, it looks like.
It still does win, compared to a lot of the other decks, maybe that's not the case, but I guess it sees a similar amount of play as Tim Necrom, but I see Tim Necrom winning a decent amount more.
Yeah, it sees more play than it wins, and I think it's because it's a deck that people just pick up because they think it's going to be easy to pilot and they know that it's a good deck.
Yeah.
But then there's interaction that happens. They don't know how to play around everything. And if you're not like super seasoned with the deck, there's going to be a lot of scenarios that you think you can't get out of, but you can. You just have to do like really intricate lines that might involve tutoring at the right time, activating Kinnan at weird times, playing instant speed stuff at the right time. Like it can be very, very big brain to have to figure out some of these lines.
There's a lot of nuance to it. It seems like it's like a big mana, like dumb green deck or something, but it really doesn't play like that. At least a lot of the times it's looking to stay alive as long as possible. And there's obviously different versions. There's a version that's looking much more into just resolving early Rhystic Study and then just making 1,000 mana, doing stuff like Mirror Maiden and do all the steel enchantments and stuff like that. There are versions that are using more big creatures than are on Void Winnower. I see Void Winnower get cut a lot recently. The direction is just lower card advantage and stuff like that, but it's a flexible deck and it just makes mana good simply because of that fact. It's another one like Magda that I feel like it's always going to be good.
Yeah, I feel like it's in a spot now where your backup plan is activating Kinnan, and there's been a lot of builds with Kinnan over the years where your main plan is I just want to make as much mana as possible and then put 2 Kinnan activations on the stack in one turn.
Right, yeah, and it's funny how that can shift. Like depending on how the metagame is, that's how Kinnan has the ability to be. Like right now, I feel like Kinnan wants to be much more active in the early stages by getting a draw engine in early and then using all the extra mana that it has to overtake the other draw engine decks. Because if everyone's got Heuristic Study and Kinnan's got 17 mana to the rest of the table is 4 or 5 apiece, Kinnan's going to come out on top. They have more mana. They're drawing the same amount of cards, but they're not going to get funneled on stuff to cast.
I would argue they get to draw more cards because with the mana that they have, they also get to play bigger pieces that draw cards like Consecrated Sphinx and Nezahal in particular. Like, these are just fucking things they can cast.
Super Heuristic Studies. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll draw enough cards where they'll feel okay tapping out because Nezahal protects itself and Consecrated Sphinx will find you an answer for whatever's going on.
Yeah. And I like that. I don't know if the list that you're pulling up has this, but like Misdirection is a card that I see in some of these like super heavy draw engine type decks.
Not
and
only
I
that,
love
but
it.
Commandeer has been showing up a lot more too. And this list in particular is playing both. And I like them especially in the low color blue decks. Like, I'm not on Commandeer in VV. I feel like I should be, but I am on Misdirection in VV. And I kind of like this direction where if you know that your commander's a lightning rod, you got to have something else so that you can just for free move it around wherever you need the removal to go.
And I think it's very helpful if your like game plan is Heuristic Study. If like your goal is to get a Mystic Remora or some type of draw engine in play on turn one or turn two, you need the free interaction because a lot of the times the engine is going to make the turbo player, the Italic player say, all right, I got to jam now while you're tapped out. I have to go for it and hope you don't have Force of Will because if you untap and have mana with the Heuristic Study, that's much more difficult for Itali, isn't it?
So we'll see copy enchantment and mirror maid and copy artifact in a lot of the lists that we're talking about then too because these are just like tournament CEDH mainstays.
It's kind of like, I don't want to say parasitic because it's not really, but if Heuristic Study is the best thing to do, making more and taking Heuristic Studies is
we literally
good,
did
right?
this with Dockside Extortionist. Like, that's why people started playing like Clever Impersonator more, and now you still play Clever Impersonator.
Just copy the Heuristic Study.
It's still the best thing that, whatever the best thing to copy is, But yeah, so, I mean, we've seen so much Kinnan on the channel, and it's still super good. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where Kinnan is not good, because it's so flexible, and even if, like, you can punish creatures to the maximum potential, like, you're still going to have to deal with Kinnan players.
Better than Blgarb, better than Kefka.
We got to go way up.
Way up, yeah.
Yeah, like, we got to go, like, Rog'Sai around there. Like, it's better than Rog'Sai, right?
I hate to admit this, but it's better than Rog'Sai.
And it's better than Sissei in reality,
no!
too. Yeah, it's way better than Sissei.
Better than Sissei, you
so
sure?
So many good cards you get to play. You don't have
I can
to,
play
like,
Kinnan and Sissei, though.
That makes Kinnan even better. Because, like,
but you Kinnan can't play Sissei and Kinnan. I can play Kinnan and Sissei.
You can play Kinnan and Rog Thrass and in Rog Yoshi too. Like,
there's
so
good
many
in all
Yoshi
of those
Thrass.
Decks.
Yeah, it's so good in so many different places, even outside of the command zone. That, like, I think Kinnan just does too much. It's way easier to build around. It's intricate, but you can just like pick it up and have it still be a good deck.
All right. So what else do we have on the list? It's better than Sissei. I
and
hate
then
to admit
versus
it.
Versus Rog Thrass.
Rog Thrass. Oh. So
these,
this is
these are like my two nightmare decks to go
right,
up
dude,
against.
I feel
like
this is kind of interesting because Rog Thrass is doing what Kinnan does. I don't want to say better, but like more, faster.
Better
you know
in
what
the
I mean?
Meta now because now that Kinnan shine away from so many big things, like it doesn't matter that Rog Thrass can't play so many big things, I guess.
Which is better? Which is better?
Kinnan, as it stands, has been around longer.
That's true, yeah.
And can survive in metagames. Like, Rog Thrass has always been something that we could do, and we...
We haven't until recently. Rog Thrass is thriving because of how the metagame is shaping right now. Kinnan thrives through all.
And when we
Kinnan's
did do
better.
Something with it, we were like, oh, why don't we Divergent Transformation?
Why don't we diverge? Yeah, why don't we play no creatures? God. That's a good idea.
That's optimal. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Kinnan's the best deck out of all the decks we've talked about so far. That's probably true.
There we go. All right, that's going to the top. Bop, 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 bop to the top. I would like to talk about one more play to win deck before we get into some boring decks.
Okay. That sounds good.
Let's talk about Itali.
Itali!
I still can't believe Itali is in this list.
It's like
of
a
like
deck.
Some of
it's
the
like
most
doing well.
Most played decks that people are playing in tournaments right now. Yeah. I mean, it is not winning anything right now, but it has been winning prior to this past month. It does get some wins and like tops.
And it's converting. Like, it's still making top 16 and top fours and stuff like that.
That's the thing. Yeah, there's a couple of smaller events, even like over this past weekend, that it did
top.
I mean, we've talked, again, a lot about Itali. Even on the podcast more recently, we've seen it on the show. And this is just like a lot of the same stuff that we've been seeing in these lists. I think there has been a little bit more of a push to just make sure that you can deal with Vexine Bauble, because there's a lot more lists that are playing Vexine Bauble. So like, I put Nature's Claim in my deck, but that might be wrong. I might want to switch it up to this Natural State I've been seeing, which is one mana that destroys an artifact or enchantment with CMC 3 or less.
For what color of mana?
For one green.
For one
so
green.
It's the same cost as Nature's Claim, but yeah. It doesn't gain life.
Sorcery?
It's an instant still.
An instant still.
Yeah.
That's
but
good.
But like, maybe there's like a 4-mana thing that I want to hit with Nature's Claim, and I don't care about the 4 life
there's
anymore,
nothing 4
right?
mana, right?
Why
haven't we been playing this card? Is Birthing Pod the only reason, and we just forgot that Birthing Pod doesn't see play? That
let
can't
me think,
be it.
Let me think.
What other 4-mana artifact would you want to destroy?
Smothering Tithe, potentially.
Oh, enchantment, too.
It's enchantment. It's artifact or enchantment.
It's enchantment,
yeah.
Too. Okay, so Smothering Tithe. Yeah, Smothering Tithe. That's it? This is what this card is for. Singular green mana, instant, destroy any artifact or enchantment for...
With mana value 3 or less. Yeah.
Let me see this card you have in front of you.
Yeah, Natural State.
Holy shit. This is so good. Yeah, what would you want to do?
So Nature's Claim should just be this?
Well, I guess...
I mean, they're on Nature's Claim, too.
I guess the reason you wouldn't play this is because Nature's Claim... Like, the 4 life is so irrelevant that Nature's Claim is strictly better?
That was my reasoning for... Because I only wanted one of these.
Yeah.
And I wanted... And I put Nature's Claim in because... In Itali, I don't care that the ad nauseum deck is going to gain life. I just don't want them to have the thing that's going to stop me.
Okay, so I guess theoretically there is a world where you have a wheel in hand and you want to get rid of the Smothering Tithe.
But
okay.
I think it makes sense to play both.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
I don't think it makes no sense to play both, especially since Force of Vigor in particular does not stop the Vexing Bauble, which I'm particularly concerned about. I'm less concerned about... Drannith Magistrate right now, since it's just
isn't
not
that interesting?
Seeing so much play.
That Drannith Magistrate is seeing a lot less play, and Vexing Bauble kind of takes his place, because Vexing Bauble can be used to protect you. It can stop your opponent's Force of Wills.
And what I've also noticed in particular with Itali is that it's worse in pickup pods, and it is actually better in tournaments.
What Vexing Bauble is? Or?
No, Itali in general.
Is better in tournament
it's
decks.
It's better in tournaments right now, because people are only playing good cards in tournaments, and like, you have a smaller chance of running into like people's Magdas, and people's like at a local.
Magda's a good deck though, but
locals the one night I was in a pod with 2 Magdas and like a Lumra. Like, what am I gonna do as an Itali deck, right?
There, yeah.
But like in a tournament, I have a really good shot of there being like 1 Rog Thrass, a Blue Farm, and like some other Thrasios deck or like a Marnius or something, right?
Yeah, and I think Itali attacks the metagame in kind of this interesting way, is it like forces your opponents to have to do something on turn 2, which is like a lot of the times when they have just tapped out for either mana or cards. So you put them in a situation where they sort of must have Force of Will, and if they don't, even if you draw them 4 cards, you're casting 4 spells for every 4 cards that you give them. So you give them 4 cards, and they might not be able to use any of them right now. And if you're winning the game right now, it doesn't matter if you give them 10 cards, you know what I mean? It makes no difference. They just have to hit something that does something, but like, they only have so many shots to do it, whereas like, every time you hit, you are doing something, you know what I mean?
I'm getting the 4 spells
right.
every time.
Yeah, so even if they hit the counter spell, there's 3 other spells sometimes. Sometimes the other one does something too.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it is kind of like the anti-meta deck right now, which is I think why it's doing so well, is that it's able to go so fast and get around mid-range hell in such a specific way that if decks aren't prepared for it, if they don't draw the free Mind Break Trap or the Force of Will to be able to stop what I'm doing, there's nothing that you can do against Itali.
Right.
It is going to run you over then. Yeah.
It's very similar to Rock'Sai. I feel like what the main difference is Rock'Sai has access to blue, so there are some counter spells.
A little bit more protection for what you're doing.
Yeah, and it gives you... Rock'Sai has that moment where you have to counter the Necropotence right now, or it doesn't matter, whereas Itali gives you a couple more shots. Like, there is a chance where they will draw your Heuristic Study, but Itali is much more explosive. It's, like, all right there, and you can so much more consistently go on turn 1 or turn 2. Like, I firmly believe that, like, Itali does the fast thing more consistently than Rock'Sai. Rock'Sai has the backup on turn 2 or 3, but Itali gets Itali out on turn 1 or 2 more often, I think.
Don't have to run tutors in my deck. All of the tutors that you run, I replaced with mana instead.
Only mana. You just have to count to 7, whereas Rock'Sai has to get a certain combination. Obviously, pros and cons, counter spells versus a little bit more speed and raw power. But
does that mean that I think that Atali is better than Rog'Sai.
No, but it's close.
But it's like kind of like in that same scenario right now where like they're both like attacking the meta in the same way where like they're the anti-meta deck. But I think that Rog'Sai gives you more opportunities to win the game at different points.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it a little bit better. Like you have Born Upon the Wind lines. You have a better late game ability because of your draw engines that you have access to.
Yeah, weirdly, Rog'Sai is known for not having a good late game, but Rog'Sai still plays Rhystic Study and Mystic Remora, which is a great late game that Atali doesn't have.
Tell
right?
you how many times you've won on Mulls to 3 in Rog'Sai where everyone just thinks that you're out of the game, but you get a Rhystic or a Mystic down and like you just clean up that game at the right moment thing because you get so many cards, people just like don't care. They just start feeding you right. a bunch.
Yeah, I feel like Rog'Sai has the ability to go fast, but doesn't necessarily need to, whereas maybe Atali needs to go fast a little bit more. Would you say that's true?
You can build Atali to be slower, but I think that we're, as an Atali community, figuring out that the faster decks are better.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Cam Daddy D in particular, because I know he's been doing super well, and I know his list inspired me to speed my deck list up a little bit too.
Cool.
So
okay.
like I think that's really the direction that we want to be going, is a little bit more speed. I'm not on Panharmonicon anymore. Like there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do to make a more resilient Atali deck last in mid-range hell. But you can just anti-meta them and just get around
just
mid-range
go faster,
hell. I
yeah.
think that's a better way to do it, better, too.
Rather than answer their answers, just yeah. have threats before they can answer them.
The deck's a lottery already. Lean into it being a gamble instead of trying to fix what makes it not a gamble. That's a discussion that they were having on the Atali Discord the other
yeah.
day. It's like...
Just admit that it's a gamble.
Yeah, it's going to be a gamble. Yeah. yeah, like, sure, you can try to interact with my early Atali, but it might just cast me 4 spells. It might be a really cool Eureka effect that I get.
Right, like if you're
going
to do the slot machines and there's a deal if you spin it 10 times you get the second one free or something, do the 10, don't do 9 because 9 is less than you want to save money. You get the deal if you do
exactly
10.
Yeah, do
that
the
works,
whole thing
right? that
yeah.
works. That's a that makes sense.
I think so too. Yes.
Compared to where are we it's about where Rog'Sai is. What's up to a top and below Rog'Sai,
which means that it's worse than Sisay.
Worse than I yeah sorry but I think it is sorry.
I kind of
yeah.
no I kind of think it is too. I think Sisay is a lot more resilient and is way less interactable. That's the other thing, like Atali is very interactable.
Just counter Atali.
Counter Atali, bounce Atali, like wait until you interact with the food chain when they think that they can do nothing else. Maybe that'll bite you in the butt, but I think a lot of times you can let the first Atali spin go. It's okay.
All right. That's what an Atali player says. I don't think that that's true. I think you should treat it like a Kark situation where like with the trigger on the stack, you want to get rid of the Kark, or like oftentimes when Kark is casting spells with their Kark triggers on the stack, you want to counter the spell then so they don't have the option to bounce it back to their hand. I personally think with Atali, it's often best to counter the Atali the first time, because especially if you have to ritual into Atali,
I guess it depends
now
on how
9
I get
mana
Atali
is a ton
out.
Of
yeah.
mana if you mana vaulted in it, so it's really hard to get the second one out. And if you let the Atali stay in play and try to counter what comes next, sometimes they have the copiers, the cloners, the hasty makers, what are they called,
the like twin flames,
the
and
twin
stuff.
Flame effects.
It's
and
hard
then,
to say counter Atali when there's normally one or only two things that counter Atali, being like Force of Will and
right.
Mind Break Trap.
Yeah,
they're really
that's
it.
Very true. A lot of counter spells are negates or
so
like counter night creatures
too.
Yeah.
You should say that too. We should say that too.
Interact
silence.
With Atali on the stack, I
yeah.
guess, is the most important.
Don't play
I think.
Drannith Magistrate because that will make your deck worse. But do play the cards that are like, I'm not even just saying that as an Atali player.
I think you're right. Yeah, play Vexing Bobble instead.
Play Vexing Bobble. Play things that will make your deck better. Don't just target the Atali because you're afraid of Atali because, Meta Buster or something. Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. The goal is to win the game, not to beat the Atali player.
Exactly. Yeah.
So where are we ranking it? It's worse
versus
than
Magda. How do we have it versus Magda?
I like Atali.
I took Magda apart and I kept Atali.
There we
together.
Go. Atali's better than Magda. And that's definitive.
And that's definitive, yeah.
How many more decks do we have to talk about?
We have two more decks to talk
two
about.
Two more decks. That's perfect.
All right, so I don't even know how much more time we need to spend on the other two, because these last two decks are like the Timna decks of the format that
okay.
I've saved for last
yeah.
because everyone knows these decks, but you should really just be always expecting these decks to come up against
They're
you
the most
in
popular decks
yeah.
in CDH.
And the first one we're going to talk about is Thrasios Timna.
This one got a big resurgence when Dockside got banned. I don't know that it has dominated in the way that a lot of people were expecting it to, but it's been a solid role player. It has definitely come back into the spotlight of one of the best decks in the format. I think it's not flashy, doesn't do anything crazy. It just plays good spells at a good rate. It has Seedborn Muse normally. It does Thrasios stuff. It draws cards with Timna. It is like your, I think, like it's a standard CDH deck.
Well, those are two different formats, so now I'm confused.
Oh, fuck. You're right. I'm sorry. That's so confusing. No, I do want to say, go ahead.
No, but there. No, you say what you're going
to
say.
I do want to say the Squirrel, Hazel's Brewmaster, was a great include to the deck that really helped bring it back, I think, a little bit too. Like Swift Reconfiguration on the Devoted Druid and all the Devoted Druid combos you do, I think, also really helped the deck gain a lot more strength.
It makes Survival of the Fittest a one-card win con because you can use the Survival of the Fittest to tutor up your Devoted Druid, which then you can discard to Survival to go get the Brewmaster, which then, hey, look at that. It's already in the graveyard for your Brewmaster.
Right, yeah. So it's a good deck that has gotten new toys, which is what's necessary for CDH to continue being good. You have to continue getting stuff to put into your deck. Like, otherwise, you're going to get power crept out because other decks are going to get good stuff.
But I'm noticing that it is not getting a lot of new toys. Like, it got that. It got the ability to Hazel's Brewmaster with Bloomburrow. So that means it also got, like, Valley Floodcaller around that same time. And then since then, it got Gifts Ungiven when Gifts got unbanned. But it hasn't really added anything since, like, it was our main deck that we were both playing in tournaments and stuff like that. Like, the list is still very solid. I will say that there are some other lists. Some of these lists I'm looking at are not on this, but there are other lists that have fallen into the Ouroboros Breeze Caller lines, too. It's just proven to be super good in a lot of other decks. What I think is the problem with that in this deck is that this one's just way slower than the other decks that are trying to Ouroboros.
Like, yeah, four colors is hard with that strategy.
And at least when Kinnan does it, they are going so over the top that it's a little bit easier for them to kind of get that mana to be able to make that work out. Whereas this deck, like, you need a lot of pips to get the creatures out and play that you want. You don't get, like, the Chatterstorm options or anything like that. You're just kind of relying on good creatures and waiting until the very late game for that to work. But you also get, like, a Emile Derevi combo with Cradle if that's something you want to do. But I always preferred just going Devoted Druid combos, playing Thoracle, and then maybe like Kinnan Basalt as my backup infinite mana win.
Yeah, you do have access to a lot of really efficient win cons, and I think that's part of the strength is the deck can go a couple of different directions. I kind of agree with you that I like sticking away from the mana stuff. I think if you're going to do that mana stuff, you need to stay in a little bit less colors, and the Yoshimaru Thrasios and the Rock Thrasios is your bet, but Timna is broken. It's going to be fine. You're going to win games with that Ouroboros Breeze Caller, Guy's Cradle, Talon Gates of Madara line in this deck. That's still going to work. It's still going to be good.
Yeah, you're in the best colors in the format right now, so this deck can't be bad. You have
Say it. Nothing.
Oh.
I was going to wrap up. I thought you were... Sorry.
No, wrap it up. I'm hot.
I mean, dude, I'm sweating. Can you see? Can you zoom in and see the beads of sweat? I think this deck is worse than Kinnan. And if I'm going to be frank...
You're confusing me, talking about all these different formats, and now you're a whole other person.
I was waiting for it. Yeah. I think that Sisse is better than Timna Thrasios.
I'm not going to lie. I think it is, and the reason why it doesn't see as much play is because Sisse is just harder to play, whereas this deck is like... We've loved Thrasios Timna because...
It's forgiving.
You can fuck it up, and you can still win. You go, oh, shit, well, I have so much mana, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a ton of ways I can win at instant speed. I don't need to push. Like, I've been in scenarios where I have 55 Smothering Tithe Treasures I've borne upon the wind.
And it's
I
a great just, instant speed deck.
It really is so good at all that kind of stuff. You're playing the best card advantage commanders in the format, too. So, I mean, as much as I love the deck, I love the commanders, and I love what it can do, it is hindered on needing two card combos and being so clunky at trying to find these 2 to 3 card combos all the time.
Yeah, so we have Kinnan,
and then Rogthras.
And then Sisse, and then Timnathras.
Because it's better than Rog'Sai, right?
I don't know, it's close, I think. I like Rog'Sai more, obviously, but I think it's better than Rog'Sai. Yeah, I think it's better than Rog'Sai.
I think it's better than Rog'Sai, too.
Yeah, I think it's better than... I don't know. I would rather play Rog'Sai, me personally, but I think Timnathrasios wins more and plays better spells overall, just like a better card-for-card deck, I think.
Timnathrasios definitely has a better long game, so I think a lot of metas in a tournament scene specifically, I think I'd rather take that in, but I think that's also because I'm way more comfortable playing that deck than Rog'Sai.
Yeah.
I suck at Rog'Sai.
Should we talk about the next?
We'll put it there.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the last deck. Timna Krom.
Yeah. This is the deck of the format. This is a deck that we don't have on the channel a ton. That's not really for like a specific reason. Honestly, it's not like we're purposefully shunning the best deck. I just think that none of us ever like want to put the deck together and none of our patrons ever recommend us to put the deck together.
I mean, I've been thinking about it, but I've been talking to one of our guys at Locals who plays it a lot and is really good with the deck, and he's not on Delny, and a lot of the lists aren't on Delny, and now I'm like, I wanted to play Delny.
Right, yeah, that was the thing.
That was like the whole reason why I wanted to put this together, but like the deck is like, what are you gonna say? Oh, Toxic Deluge is in here.
Yeah, Toxic
Deluge. This is another
Deluge
list that just won since we recorded. It had already had two tournament wins in the past month, and it's just added a third now.
Nice. Okay, yeah, Toxic Deluge is great. Nate also has recently started putting this deck together and playing it a little bit.
He's won
a little bit on the channel too. It's good. It's solid. It's consistent. Toxic Deluge is a crazy good include, I think, especially because you can Underworld Breach it later if you need to like Toxic Deluge a second time and then get ready to go and go for a win. It just does everything. It does all the Grixis stuff, but with the White Silence effects, right?
I think it's a better Timna deck than Thrasios Timna.
And it's honestly weirdly a better Grixis deck than Rockside, probably.
It kind of is, right? You get way more engines. Like, we were saying last week, it can still kind of like play a control game, but it can also go really fast if it needs
to.
It can play so many roles.
On average, it's going to be a notch or two slower than Rockside, but it has the ability to go for quick turn two, turn three wins. Probably turn three more often than turn two.
Yeah,
it's not really meant to do that, but like, it can. Right?
And it only got a huge push with
Gifts
Ungiven.
Yeah, I think it probably was really like the best home for Gifts Ungiven, and I don't even think I've seen Gifts in all of the lists that have been winning tournaments with Timna Krom. You don't have to play it. I'm glad that it is seeing play, because I think it's really good, but you don't need to. That's like the power of this deck is you don't even need to play Gifts Ungiven.
I want to point out one other card that's in this list. It's Curse Totem.
Ooh.
This is a weird stacks piece that you do get
to play.
This card
sucks. No.
I don't think it's good either.
My deck is Sisse. Don't play this card.
Yeah, there's dissynergy here too. You can't Professional Facebreaker or Ranger Captain of Eos with it in play, which I think the Ranger Captain's huge.
The Ranger Captain is relevant, sure.
But I mean, at the same time,
if you're losing to Kinnan and Sisse a lot, Curse Totem's great.
I haven't won a CEDH tournament ever, and this person did.
Right,
so.
Yeah. I personally have found that Curse Totem is not the lights out against Sisse realistically. It does like say that it's really good, but Sisse can kind of just wait and stay alive. It actually weirdly is playing a decent amount of interaction. So if Sisse can like stay alive and just get rid of Curse Totem later and be ready to win on the spot, it's fine. I do think it's pretty good against Kinnan because the mana thing is like really like a big part of the strategy, but the mana is part strategy of Sisse too. So like it's not lights out against any of these decks, but it certainly is powerful against Sisse and Kinnan and all the Gaia's Cradle decks. Like it's still good against Thrasios, of course.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I had something again that I wanted to say, but I just...
Were you going to say that this is the best deck in the format? Because
it is
the number one
best deck in the format.
Right, it's better than Kinnan, it's better than Rogthras, it's better than Sisse.
It has the most amount of wins out of all the decks that we've been talking about in the time frame that we're looking at here, so...
Truthfully, and I think like intuition is the real like get for this deck. That's the main thing I personally think that it has over Rog'Sai, is that intuition is a one card win condition with Savine's Reclamation, and Grixis Rog'Sai doesn't have like an easy way to really do something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the biggest standout. Not all the decks are even playing Ad Nauseam anymore, right? That's not even a thing.
No, not all of them are.
But you can.
I think a lot of them still are. It's still a good backup strategy since it is a one card win condition on its own still.
But you also have the Savine's Reclamation. You all just have like Underworld Breach, Mnemonic Betrayal, Praetor's Grasp, Thoracle Consult. You have so many good ways to win the game as well as just the best cards in the format. And I think over and over we're finding that like your commander truly doesn't really matter as much as just like playing as many good cards as possible. Oftentimes that's like the best way to win. I say that as a Sisse pilot, I know, but a lot of the times that's like the best way to win a lot of games.
The reason why I think that it's better to have good cards in your deck than be synergistic is because Blue Farm is consistently the best deck in the format.
That's from an Atali player.
Exactly. Yeah, right? Like, I'm playing very synergistic decks right now.
I think the synergistic decks are easier to win with for me personally, but the records show that
the
better cards
win. Show that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Better cards win more games more often than not.
I'm sorry. I'm so warm. I can't think.
Dude,
so
I'm
can
hot.
We just,
can we
can
can
just go over the list?
That's
yeah.
Yeah. What's the top 12 commanders? I got one honorable mention. Malcolm. Blue Malcolm. Partner with a couple whatever. I think that commander and deck is good. That's it. That's the honorable mention.
Great. So the worst deck that we've talked about then is Glarb, followed by Kefka, which makes me not want to build Kefka so much right now.
Okay.
Yoshimaru Thrasios is next, followed by Vivi, followed by Magda, followed by Atali, and then Rograk Silas. And then our top five begins with Thrasios Timna. Number four is Sisse. Number three is Rograk Thrasios. Number two is Kinnan. And then number one is Timna Krom.
I stand by this list.
I think this is like an insanely solid list.
Definitive.
A little definitive. I bet Magda players would fight me on the Atali versus Magda placement.
I love the phrase a little definitive. That's fun.
A little definitive. Yeah. It's not totally definitive.
There are a bunch of other decks in CDH that can win games and tournaments and
do
well.
These are just the ones that you are going to see in
the most.
tournaments the most.
Right, yeah,
and
exactly.
This is what we think of their rankings. So if you want to build a CEDH deck, I would recommend one of these 12 to start.
Thank you so much for watching. If you like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Damn Nandez, Cumulative Upkeep MTG, Mr. Jerby, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man 0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roys, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean of the Ice, Gear Bear Garrett, Mace the Ace, Luke Cook, Connor Siphon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Cornel Wild, Uncle Butts, Kwaja A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on the internet for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Z-Trep, Hunter the Warlock, John Koba, The Gaming Kikajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Dalton Poti, Justin Man Solo, Jan Wild, Frank Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.